Hello and welcome back to episode 51 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig. I might be getting Comcasted during this recording. We'll hopefully have a good enough connection, but we've decided to go ahead and have the podcast anyways, despite Comcast being one of the companies of all time. Dread, you're my co-host. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy path of exile leveling to join me here. What's going on, dude?
Hello, this is Dread, and it's been an interesting time for me. I started Poison Firestorm with Inextricable Fate Nonsense, and it was doing very well until I started juicing my maps, and then all of a sudden my computer would crash, like completely crash, like the whole computer would crash, like I'd have to restart like multiple times, and after like 20 times I was like, okay, is it the grasping vines from the boots? Because if you don't know, the boots apply grasping mm-hmm. vines, which make enemies move slower and stuff. And then I tried a different build, and I wasted like maybe like 20 plus divines on that. And yeah, that didn't work either. It still was crashing on me. So now I am, I reinstalled my game. I redid all my settings, and I'm leveling a character in SSF and seeing if it's poison or if it's just my computer. Either way.
Something about Path of Exile crashing your game. Is it a good thing? Is it satisfying when you crash the game, or is it just a pain in the butt?
No, it's a pain in the ass kind of crash. It's just like I'm just doing stuff randomly, and it's just like kaput.
So you were asking about like what have I been doing in the world of Last Epoch while you've been pivoting over to Path of Exile for a while. And we spent a while playing like different variations of Avalanche. And I had two other content creators who were like brainstorming ideas with me, Valinov and Cursed Boy. And I keep getting DMs from both of them about like how they're making the build a little bit better, making the build a little bit better, trying different things, trying different permutations of stuff. And I just got a new DM this afternoon, right before I started streaming. And Valinov's like, hey, check out how fast I can crash the game. So he's got Avalanche, upheaval stuff, blowing up his Thorn Totems, which is already pretty laggy, but then he added in a Fragment of the Enigma for spark charges, and like he starts casting Avalanche and he crashes in like a second and a half.
Just like, yeah, that definitely sounds like a way to
the
crash
dream
the game.
Come true. Whoa, it's so good. How can the monsters kill you if they don't move?
Beautiful. Exactly. How can the monsters kill you when you don't even have the game open?
Well, that's the only winning play is to not play.
Yeah. It seems like you guys are having fun with Avalanche. It's kind of funny because I actually had a lot of fun with Avalanche because I cycle started it this time around. I was having an insane amount of fun. Avalanche was great. The amount of questions I got while playing Avalanche, very annoying.
With the stupid spring and form battery thing?
I can explain why. Because of this being like a quote-unquote off patch, that's as far as I will go with that explanation. There was a lot less people covering the game, so there was a lot more people coming for advice on things.
They saw
my video, right? They saw my video, and they're like, I want to play that. But then, a lot of people, they don't watch videos anymore. They just click on it and then click on the planner. They're like, huh, why is Spriggenform on this bar? That makes no sense, man. And, I even had to make an FAQ this time, just like Pox does for Path of Exile. It was that bad. But I had a really good time with Avalanche. It's nice to see other people having good times with Avalanche. Go ahead.
Do you think Avalanche is OP?
No, I think it's completely fair.
I think it's great. Like the power level of the skill surprised me. Like we were really hyped up about how big that damage was going to be. Mm-hmm. I think like obviously it's worse than, Static Orb and all the bug skills and like the extreme outliers. But like I think it's a really good addition to the game. I'm impressed.
I think it is a solid tool in the toolkit of Shaman.
Yeah.
That deserves to exist. I can assure you the damage is not through the roof. It is enough. It is what it needs to be for what you're paying the mana for. Like if I'm paying 50 mana for a skill, I would like it to do damage, right?
Yeah,
that would be great. My problem was it was bugged when I was playing, and the nodes that would make the area bigger actually makes the area smaller. And it turned, Avalanche into like a machine gun. That's not what I wanted, obviously, because,
Oh, that note, the note in the top middle. It's really good for single target damage.
Yeah, but obviously not intended at all, so I didn't get to mess with that at all.
Yeah, I could technically see a world in which it's doing what it's intended to do, but like, it's definitely worded wrong.
I could imagine a unique that is meant for that.
Oh, existing. Yeah, for sure. Or what about a funny skill sigil? Skill sigils, baby.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, I think it does a completely fair amount of damage. It's just, like I said, the mana cost is a little bit high, but it's fair considering you're getting like a, what is it? Like a, like, isn't it like a 1600% added damage effectiveness skill or something like that?
4800% effectiveness added damage?
Yeah, 4800%. Yeah. Yes. It's crazy. It's like, that's plenty for a 50 mana skill.
Pretty
it's
big. Like, ooh. All right, yeah, so I'm going to try to like straddle the line between like Path of Exile and Last Epoch, because like, I actually have a lot of Path of Exile or Last Epoch stuff to talk about.
Yeah, but, like, of course.
I want to kind of talk a little bit about mana for a second. So we like, obviously mana gain on hit exists in Path of Exile. I don't know if it's popular. It was never popular when I was really playing. Like, you get like one jewel with it somewhere sometimes, but
you of mainly course, mana use it for too. Attack builds now.
So
mainly,
how are like big mana skills in Path of Exile? It's like
Archmage is actually one of the meta skills currently right now. That is because they buffed Archmage and made it more simplified than what it was before last patch in Path of Exile. And it actually makes sense now, because now when you add mana cost to skill, skill do damage. I know, it's such a crazy idea.
I was going to say, so Avalanche is like one of a handful of skills in Last Epoch. It's got this huge mana cost, and oftentimes in Last Epoch, it's just like, it's not worthwhile to pay those things, because you'd rather just hold down right click. You'd rather have something with perfect mana and not have to worry about it at all.
I mean, was it really annoying to have to use mana shifting to sustain my mana? Yeah. But was it way better than putting mana regen on every single affix and still not making enough mana? No.
Or getting like lightning resistance and go Urzul's Pride?
No, you still couldn't get enough. Because you'd be casting one avalanche per second. Like, at most. Like, you can still cast way more than that with the Spriggan form tech.
We saw different variations of it. Like, we've seen someone do that, but it's just...
It was a very hard thing to explain to people, the difference between bursting your damage and, like, you know, trying to sustain mana through mana regen, and trying to explain to them, like, one cast every second is not superior to 20 casts in a row, and then you have to wait 6 seconds and then do another 20 casts. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very hard to explain that.
It gives you a nice window for, like, you know, maneuvering, repositioning, avoiding, like, waiting for the right opportunity, getting the setup, and then boom.
It's not like as if you're standing there still and waiting for it. You just cast Thorn Shield and get armor cap. It's like, woo. You know?
So in Path of Exile, you have like, you have flat mana, you have percent mana regeneration. Flat mana regen, percent mana regeneration. You have mana gain on hit. You have mana leech. You have, there's like mana recoup mechanics, aren't there?
Yeah, there is mana recoup, yeah.
Okay. And then like, we just don't. So I made a feedback post for EHG. It was like one of these, like, you know, offhanded comments that we had during stream.
Oh, yes. When you were causing problems, I remember.
One of these offhanded comments about like something that you could do. And I said, like, hey, would it really be OP if like Shaman recovered one mana every time you expended a Stormstack? Because it's kind of sort of flat mana regeneration.
So I can channel Mike here. And I can be like, well, that sounds like a good idea for a unique, Perry.
Fine, sure. You can
spend $1,000 for it.
Oh, no. Why don't you do it? Come on, Mike.
That's really it. Like, that's really it. They've pushed more in that way where, like, the base skills don't really have that way. Or you, like, there's, like, the normal way you're supposed to play with, like, the mana, like you know, like, using Gathering Storm as a mana battery and then casting Avalanche every so often or whatever, right? Stuff like that. I wish there was a button that I could press on Avalanche that would, like, I guess there kind of is because you have that loop per se, but I wish there was a button you could press it just like consumes all your mana and does a billion meteors. But of course, then not meteors, but like Avalanche, but they would have to get rid of the shape-shifting stuff then at that point. So probably not.
Why can't I just have a billion boulders coming down? Yeah, why can't I? I want that.
I think the mana stuff is fine. Like, it's actually been the most balanced it's ever been ever in the history of the game. It's just, like I said, there's still skills that lack the amount of effect for their mana cost, you know, but it's slowly getting there. Like, for instance, Judgment's no longer poo-poo. You can put World Splitter on, and all of a sudden, your Judgment not only does good damage, it also has a good AoE, right?
Yes.
A Racing Strike, but you're cheating mana, so that doesn't count. Forge Strike, moving on. like it's getting there. It's getting there. Like, the amount of percent mana regen we can get is starting to get to the point where, like, it opens up many more things that weren't possible before, especially with the channeling changes. So I think mana has been its best spot ever, but I would rather them focus less on giving us ways to sustain mana, which we do have. I would rather them focus on making it so that when I spend the mana, I am properly rewarded for it. I like that route much better, in my opinion.
Like, so you don't mind, like, mana generator, mana spender setups?
I don't mind spending 60 mana for an earthquake if the earthquake hits the whole screen.
Okay. Like, you know, I want to use this as an opportunity to, like, kind of pivot to something else that we've been talking about recently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this was, like, entirely a piece of technology that was there a week or two ago when you were still playing. But of course, the first thing that everyone thought when they started playing with a World Splitter, which is that unique two-handed axe, has like crit chance per mana and area of effect per maximum mana, stuff like that. The first thing that a lot of people thought about was, like, well, this is an axe. It's got void damage on it. Let's play Racing Strike. You just mentioned Racing Strike a second ago, and like, it's big. It's like, I messed around with
huge.
It. I messed
huge.
Around with it for just a little bit. Oh, and you know, so it kind of reminded me of, like, years ago when, like, EQ was just, like, taking over. I think, like, EQ was, like, a new skill in Path of Exile, and, like, it just hit the entire screen. Like, yeah, that's my melee skill right there,
like,
baby.
It's like you said in that one video where you're talking about, you know, like, the sweet builds. Like, that's one of those builds that someone would tune into, like, a LE stream, and they see with, like, World Splitter hitting the whole screen with a Racing Strike and not losing all of his mana instantly with one click.
And with a smile on his face, not frustrated.
Yeah, with a smile on his face. Great. Yeah, not frustrated and getting angry. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes people want to play the game.
That's true.
Which is weird, considering they changed Smite idols, but that's a different topic.
So one piece of technology, I actually forget who recommended this to me, but it might be someone who's in Twitch chat right now. So if it was you, just say something. But somebody was playing the Racing Strike build with a World Splitter, and they were also using a Seed of Akitrasil, which is the damage taken from mana before health thing. And, like, in that build, you virtually have infinite mana. And having infinite mana is pretty good if you have damage taken from mana before health. And, like, it has built-in damage reduction. And then you have the endurance applies to your mana stuff. Like, that's great technology for trying to make your VK have some kind of damage reduction on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To answer you, Anchor Smashing, the reason why people hate the generator spender style is because normally what happens is there's in ARPGs, there's, like, big flashy skills, right? Let's say, like, you compare it to a Racing Strike, like you just mentioned. A Racing Strike with the correct investment can, like, literally hit the whole screen, erase all the enemies, and have fun, right? But the problem is, back in the day, it wasn't balanced properly, and little Rinky Dink Rive could not only clear better, but also do more damage, significantly so. I think people don't hate generator spenders as much as they hate badly balanced generator spenders. And as to give you, as people are pointing out in chat, Diablo 4 is definitely a very good example of bad generator spenders. Right now, like, for instance, technically, like what you said, what Kaz just said, generator spender really suck as a concept. I hate it. I'd rather turn into a Spriggan. I'm like, that's literally a mana generator is turning into a Spriggan. It's just a different kind. Instead of me smacking shit, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just turning into a Spriggan and chilling for 6 seconds or 4 seconds or whatever. And I think the problem is, like, either, like, the skill, like I said, the skills themselves need to do something for their mana, right? Because, like, for instance, Old Judgment before all the AoE stuff was not worth its mana cost before they changed it to the cooldown thing or whatever, right? It's like, yeah, it's just like,
So you were talking about, like, the older skills and, like, they weren't properly balanced, and I want to add a little bit more information on top of that, but, like, you know this, but it's just, like, it's tangent to the conversation, so we're going to bring it in. Shred and armor shred and applying ailments, right? So in Last Epoch, those big bonky skills, none of them have, like, increased effect of applying ailments. So, like, EQ, playing bleed or ignite EQ in Last Epoch
don't do it.
Would be a terrible idea, because, like, you have some more multipliers, but you're only applying, like, 20 stacks and you're paying 60 mana for it. It's just not worthwhile. You'd rather hit fast repeatedly and apply all of those things. So armor shred, getting a bunch of stacks, 50, 100, 200 stacks of armor shred is huge. But, like, EQ is only going to get, you know, 5 or 10 stacks of armor shred. And on top of that, we did see a change somewhat recently in shred, which is it used to stack up to 20 times, I think.
Yeah, and 20 times.
Yeah, now it's been changed to only stack up 10 times. So, like, you know, you get the same amount of impact, but you only need 10 stacks to get there. So I'd like at some point, if those big bonky skills, like, why can't Erasing Strike be Bleed Erasing Strike? And it has, you know, bleeds inflicted by Erasing Strike are multiplied by 5. Just, like, get that many more stacks of it. It'd be nice, but we just don't have bonky ailment skills in the game.
Well, they tried a concept with it with the sword, Torkrefin's. Torkrefin's, before it was nerfed, before it was released, by the way, it was nerfed before even it got in the game. Torkrefin's, if you don't know, it is a two-handed sword that gives you bleed chance and bleed penetration, or now bleed penetration, whatever, right? Used to give you a very large amount of it. I think it was like 5% bleed chance and 5% pen per fizz. Fizz res. So it incentivizes you to build physical resistance. But you can only get, like, one stack of it, like, every second or so. So incentivized you to play one really big hit skill. But then, of course, as it always does, Umbral Blades had to come around and ruin it for everyone.
Oh,
and
now that build was like the most busted thing in the game for, like, 24 hours before I got nerfed.
Yeah. And it's like, why would you nerf that and just make it not work with throwing?
Or, like, just make it, like, not work with or nerf Umbral Blades. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh no. Like, touch Umbral Blades. How could we? But yeah, it's like that was going in that direction, and I had planned on playing that, but then, you know, Umbral Blades came and ruined the day, like it always does.
Let's keep jumping all over the place. We talked a little bit about, like, mana and, like, new things have been going on.
Actually, I want to respond to Kaz here
real quick.
So Kaz says, Dread, yeah, Spriggan is a mana button in your build, but I don't see it as a generator in the sense of generator spender, because you press it once, then cast a dozen boulders. Well, the thing is what you're saying is you don't like very inefficient mana generators. Spriggan form is a very efficient mana generator. Not only does it fill up your entire mana bar, it scales your flat mana, which makes it very efficient. Another example of efficient one is Focus, because it scales your max mana. Another efficient mana generator is Mana Strike. It generates like 100 to 200 mana with one swipe. It's just, you know, you have to be in melee range, but that's, like, not the worst thing in the world. And then, like, what the problem is, you're used to very bad generators, like Rive giving you only 5 mana when you're consuming 800 with Judgment. Right? Like, that's the problem, is, like, so, like, being able to, like, scale your gear and add mana to affixes to make your mana sustain on an Avalanche build better is what I think the direction in theory should be. Like, for instance, like, hey, like, let's say Rive has a node in it that gives you, like, 1 mana on use per, like, 5% armor you currently have, right? So, like, for instance, you have 5% armor percent, you get 1 mana, and then you go up to, like, 80%, you get, like, 40 per attack. Obviously, that sounds busted as balls, but the idea remains the same. You could scale the number, whatever.
Something, you need, right? Something, like, it doesn't necessarily give you power, but it gives you, like, an avenue to build into it.
Yeah, like for instance, imagine you're at 80% armor and you stack all the way up there, right? And then you get 20 mana per use of Rive. That makes the 800 mana seem way better, considering you can get mana on Rive and stuff like that. It's like, that's the problem, is the inefficient ones. And we've had inefficient mana generators for such a very long time now, and now we're just finally getting sufficient ones. Like, for instance, it's amazing to me how many people ask me what the hell Spriggenform was doing in my build. And I'm like, I've known about this since like that one tourney when Mal used it in like the One Vision tournament for the EQ build. I just never used it because I never had the excuse to use it, because I never been around. Like, but then like with the Avalanche thing, I'm like, oh wow, perfect excuse to use this. Perfect example of what you should be using it for. And it's like, yeah, that's like the problem, is the inefficient mana, inefficient mana generators, inefficient mana spenders as well, right? But yeah.
Oh, now that I play like an EQ build that also uses a transformation as a mana battery, it makes me just like start comparing, you know, where.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Everyone, like literally the transformation stuff's taken over the world. I love it.
Yeah, great. It's everyone's using it. That's what it should be. So I want more stuff like that. I don't hate it at all.
Yeah. We did ask Mike. He said that it's teetering on the edge.
Oh, what's that? What's teetering on the edge?
Oh, the gain all your mana back when you transform. It's intended.
Oh, do they not like that?
No, they said it's teetering on the edge of what is and what isn't. You know what I mean? Like, hey, like, it's fine right now, but like they could very well see it be abused in the future. Kind of like, you know, when you did it with, you know, the one stupid scepter.
Oh, with Caldnavar's claim.
Yeah, kind of like when you did it. Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? I have no idea. I'm totally cooked right now. I was playing that build so much that when you tried to explain to me what the real mana generator of like swapping into a form was, I didn't understand it, because when I was doing that, like, I went down to zero mana, and then I flipped back into human form immediately using Caldnavar's Claim, or use zero rage, flip back. And I had to use idols that gave me mana gained when you transform into a human, which is not at all what you do. Like, that's kind of interesting. Maybe that should be the way that it actually works, right?
That's actually, the way I view it is they change the idols to be a percent. So the way I would do it.
Oh, that'd be great. Sure.
I have armchair devving here for a moment, okay? But in my opinion, if I'm at 100% rage and I swap into human form, I go to half my mana, okay? And then you have idols that say you get an extra 10% of your rage's mana when you transform or whatever back, and then so you can get back to 100%. So you're not getting the full 100% for free, right? Obviously, you know, they'll probably do something else and just make it so it doesn't happen, because, you know, that's how they usually do
these things. Well, those idols, they exist. Clearly something was on the developer's mind when they put those in the game. I was using them, but my build was, you know, insane. Totally insane for different
reasons.
You're
the reason why we have to say the stupid line every single time we talk about rage and mana. You're the one that caused all the problems. Because, like we're like, oh, rage is mana, except for this one case.
Except for this and then one little thing.
And the one case has caused it to the point where, like, whenever I see anything interacting with rage, I'm just like, is this intended? Like, remember Excited Bolts? Remember
Excited Bolts? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, remember how skeptical I was about it?
Yeah.
It's because of you, by the way.
It's the Excited Bolt stuff. So we talked about Avalanche. And in my Avalanche build, I was using a couple points to proc Storm Stacks. And then over time, those storm stacks turn into storm bolts, and they shoot little enemies. I thought that storm stacks were going to feel so good generating them and getting advantage of all those extra nodes in the skill tree that, like, normally you can't take because you're only using storm bolts as opposed to storm stacks. I've changed my tune. I think storm bolts are way better than storm stacks. I do not like the storm stack mechanic. First of all, like, you massively overgenerate. Even something like, you know, Avalanche, you generate like 40 stacks.
No,
or so.
Okay, no. So okay.
And you want me to expend them?
You are wrong. You are wrong.
Tell me. I love.
Let me
wrong.
Explain. All right. If you ever watch my video on Avalanche, okay, since I'm like spamming it, and getting a very large amount of stacks.
Go
once,
on.
After 50 stacks, every single stack you gain is instant. And it gets very buggy, or at least the UI gets buggy, but you can see it happen. So like if you watch my video, you will see a pack explode.
Yeah,
just
the bug?
Fucking explode.
Yeah.
No, it's not a bug.
Oh, I thought it was a bug.
No, the storm stacks.
I've definitely seen that happening.
So the storm stacks get instantly used because you're over 50, remember? Like they said in the beginning. You're supposed to.
Yeah.
So
I guess there was a bug at some point because I've seen people with like 200 stacks of storm stacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not like that might be a bug. But like in theory, after 50, you're supposed to proc it every single time. And that's what helped my clear so much. It's not just the avalanche. I would play the avalanche, right? And then I get to 50 stacks. That's why the bursts work so much better than like cast, right? Is because I'd get to 50 and all of a sudden, bam, 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 storm bolt. And you'd see it like go off and you'd see like a pack just get fisted worth of fizz, because I was converting it to fizz at the time, but I think I need to convert it to lightning to show it off better. But essentially, yes, there is a reason to go to over sustain on that build. It's just you weren't making enough of them.
You needed more of them in order to get that happen.
Yes,
maybe I did. In any case, I was comparing that to the performance of builds that I saw with the Werebear Rampage Tornado stuff.
Yeah,
and
that build's just crazy.
That build is crazy. And maybe I shouldn't compare that build, but
yeah, that would be unfair. That build is crazy.
So the avalanche build doesn't get to use excited bolts because you know you're using your mana for avalanche instead. And this is one of a handful of things that made me realize avalanche it's a good design skill. It has appropriate damage, but it's really not OP. It's you compare it to. A storm bolt build off tornadoes or something.
Tornadoes are
so good at applying them.
If it wasn't for the Spriggan 4 mana stuff, I would even be close to saying that it would be bad.
Really?
Without the Spriggan. Yeah.
Because
the only reason it feels any good is because I can cast it 20 times in a row without needing to sustain myself. And I think if you were forced to play it, quote unquote, fair, it would not feel good.
Interesting.
Even with that flat damage, it's because, spoiler alert, avalanche does not have that many more damage modifiers in its tree.
It's got some really interesting nodes. And even in the past, the old avalanche had good, interesting nodes that didn't explicitly say the word more on them. And the new tree still kind of preserves that identity as something that I want to keep complementing. It has extra small boulders. It has small boulders that have a chance to become large boulders. Large boulders have 100% more baked in. Large boulders, when they create small boulders. It's got a lot of really interesting nodes that aren't just more.
I agree. I love them. The one that does the small boulders on crit, it's great clear.
That one's amazing. Insane because it's insane. Crit. It's not once. It's so good.
Yeah. All right. I have a bone to pick. Curse Boy is I did it with sustain and it was fine, you dirty abuser dread. Yeah, well, Curse Boy. Yeah. Well, I have much higher standards, sadly, and that is due to how bad the balance was last patch. It has raised people's expectations of what is referred to as a good build to the point where I even have to abuse things to make things look good to people because of just because people, when they come to look at builds, right, they're going to take one look at Frozen with the spark charge stuff with Sorcerer, and then they're gonna look at me casting one avalanche per second
it's completely true. So we'll mention Frozen because he's sitting in chat right now, but yeah. Frozen Sentinel put out a video. He's S-tier clear, S-tier single target, S-tier quality of life. He's this is the best build in the game, and that's some clickbait right there. But it's also probably right.
It's
a fuck. You watch that video for 3 seconds and you're yeah, he's probably got a point.
Yeah. It's like I said, sadly due to that, me doing 700 corruption with the avalanche build.
Yeah.
It's just that's just the standard now. If I'm anywhere near less than that, people get annoyed or they just look away.
Tell me where you are on this, because we were just talking about this earlier before the podcast. You were cranking out videos and builds both before 1.1 and after 1.1 before you pivoted to Path of Exile.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, what has it come true? The thing that Mike wanted. Mike wanted builds to not be measured based on whether they can do 1 or 2 or 3,000 corruption, but instead based on how well they can farm Aberroth. Is that true? Has that happened in your experience?
No, because you just play, like, the problem right now with Aberroth is there's two things. You either play a build that does normal content, or you play a build that deletes Aberroth before he even gets his first animation off. Right? That's the problem right now, and this is an endemic problem that is being caused by the lack of balance of late. Like last patch too, and this patch now with Sorcerer, right? And it's like, the problem is, why would I sit down and kill Aberroth in 4 minutes when someone could just level a Sorcerer, right? Or maybe a Sacrifice Necromancer, that's all flavor of the month, right, again? And go and kill him and take a sip of coffee while doing it. And the problem is, there's no in between there. Like, it's just either you take 4 minutes to kill it because you're playing something that was intended and balanced, or you kill it in 0.1 seconds because you're playing something that, you know, might have a few extra numbers, right? And that's like the problem. And like, I'll be honest, like, as soon as that started happening, I just stopped giving a crap about Aberroth kills. Like, I just didn't care. Because like, what's the point in caring about it if I'm just going to roll a build and delete him, right?
So I want to push back on this, because it almost sounds like elitist, or just like, this is too much.
No,
of a problem,
it's not elitist.
But like, we have a monster that, you know, you have to avoid some of the ambient damage. You have to avoid damage over time.
Yeah.
You have to have, like, mobility. You need to, have at least some kind of damage in your build and, like, push them over. Maybe a kill threshold, too. But, like, when I look at Tier 4 Jhulra, I don't need to kill her before her very first one-shot. If I kill her before her second one-shot, if I kill her in under a minute, I feel pretty good about my build. And I would call that good.
I agree.
So, like, for Aberroth, I don't need, like, good builds to delete him before he does his first attack.
But, yeah, like, I don't either. Yeah.
I do feel like it's calling something good. Like, I don't mean insane. I don't mean OP. I mean, like, what's the threshold for a good build? And I would say a good build's, like, able to do Aberroth, like, easy, smooth. It might take 2 or 3 minutes, but, like, you're not stressed out during it. Like, you're, you know, very confident that you're able to push through it.
Like, I for instance, I killed, like, Aberroth in like 4 minutes with the Avalanche build on eventually, right?
And it's
I think that's fine. But the problem is, I have tempered expectations of what I view is, well, quote unquote, intended, and what is not intended, or what is like when
extreme
I
outliers.
Play the game, right? And I see extreme outliers. I am very aware of what exists in these extreme outliers. I need to actually be aware of the extreme outliers, because, you know, like, I don't want to make builds around them because they're just going to get removed from the game, right? So it is part of my job to make sure that I know what is an outlier and what is not expect, like, right? Like, for instance, when I saw the spark charge Sork stuff, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give that like a patch or two and then see what they do with it. And it's like the same thing with like Falconer. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give them a patch or two, or maybe 3 or 4, right? And like, I'm gonna wait till they fix
it.
I agree with you. The problem is, take a shot, baby. The issue, there you go, is due to this being an RPG, people are just going to watch other people do the content. But since the game isn't balanced, people are just going to kill Aberroth in 2 seconds or whatever, right? And then that is going to become the new standard. And this is why balance is so important, man. And that's why it shouldn't be easy to just play. Like, for instance, a friend of mine, Almost Pie, you know, he's a cool dude. He played the Static Orb build, right? Plus Glacier. Like, he killed Aberroth in like 30 seconds on a soul character found character in COF after a day of playing. in like 30 seconds. That shouldn't be happening, right? I feel like it's so like no, I agree that the game will never be balanced, but we're taught what you said, Joseph Prob, by the way. He said the game will never be balanced or will always be broke stuff every cycle. Yes, but there's like what do you call it? There's like an area, right, of like broken versus like balance and stuff. Right now it's like there's like a Goldilocks zone of what I would call a good build. And the problem is there's a lot of stuff that is like multiple magnitudes higher than that, to the point where it just looks comical.
And not even bug stuff. We have a number of bugs in Last Epoch right now. And like we laugh at that because we don't want to cry at that. But even things like Static Orb, is not a bug. It's you know what? It's a rule of thumb these days. You see, if your melee build is good and one-shotting things, it means that it's bugged. And if your spell build is one-shotting things, it means it's overtuned. So
like how do you think the devs felt when the first kill for Aberroth was on a bleed falconer that ignored all of the mechanics? That's boring as hell.
I think they engaged with the mechanics. Like they had to move around.
Didn't he die in like 40 seconds?
But what do you mean? Like ignored mechanics? Like ignored mechanics is killing him in 10 seconds.
I mean, that's what people are doing with it now. Well, after a second day.
Yeah. After day two.
I don't know. It's just like, I think the problem. So they're caught in two different things, okay? In the beginning, they're like, we want to play an ARPG, make an ARPG that is like more friendly to casual people, right? So they tune the content to that. So like, for instance, Aberroth is tuned towards someone who takes like maybe a week to get to him, right? So they'll be powerful enough to kill him. But, you know, we're all filthy hardcore people, and we play a bunch, right?
The point you're getting to, I think, is fine. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
First time we've had like a pinnacle boss. Like, we had Jewelry in the past. Yeah. But for that, like the pinnacle boss with like all the marketing that went around it, like it doesn't have to kill all of us 20 times before we can finally test it. Like, we have other patches. Like, it's a good difficulty. It's a good boss fight. Like, okay, some people have OP builds and they meme on it. But like, I think that's fine. Like, we don't need the first pinnacle boss be the hardest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the problem. You know what? You continue. I'm on timeout.
The problem is.
I'm on timeout.
Okay. So I'll comment on, again, what Frozen Sentinel said in chat when we were asking about, like, what's the threshold for a good build? And his comment was, how fast you can do 1,000 corruption. So we'll talk about that for just a moment, which is, you know, favor is really strange right now because I don't have any and I want more of it. So favor costs in CWEF are something that we could talk about a lot. Some of the prophecies have weird costs on them as well. But, you know, favor got changed in patch 1.1, and the best place to farm favor is get to 1,000, don't push further because of diminishing returns and whatnot, and instead just farm there quickly. And I think that's okay. I've been doing like 800 or 900 on the characters that I've been playing for more than one day. And I think that's completely fine. Like, not every build's gonna get to 1,000 corruption or clear it quickly and efficiently, because 1,000 corruption, like if you're playing a dual wield Void Knight, for example, you're gonna have good leech, but you're gonna fucking die because something's gonna one shot you because there is a lot of damage up there.
I mean, I used to not care about this as much as I do now.
Because of favor or what?
Well, I used to not care about the good build metric as much as I do now.
Okay.
But after doing the build contest, if you want to explain what that was real quick, if you want to explain what the build contest was so they have context.
Oh, sure. The Bane of Winter build contest. Sure. So the build contest, we've run them periodically in the past, but we just take like a unique item or a new affix that got added to the game or a new class or something. We build around it. So we have like a week or so. We try to make something cool and flashy and interesting happen. Not necessarily the best build, but something that, you know, makes you think, huh, that's really cool. So Bane of Winter, we took a unique two-handed spear, and actually the thing that won that was a variation of Lightning Wolves using the helmet, because then like your damage applies to your wolves as well, and that was like a really neat and interesting thing that hadn't been on my radar previously. But yeah, so those are the build contests. We've done a bunch of them.
During the contest, like whenever you do the contest, you have a very specific line of words that you say at the beginning of it. I believe it goes like something like this, that I'm not looking for a build that does like the best or anything, right? I'm just looking for a build that is flashy and fun, right? Something of that ilk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like when I was trying it, I was streaming it, right? With a Bane of Winter and all that, I was doing like 500 to 600 to 700 corruption on the Bane of Winter build, trying to make Bane of Winter work, right? And of course, you know, it's Twitch chat. There's a lot of people, you know, having some fun, you know, chiding me, which I'm all for, by the way. But they're all just like, build's bad, you know? And I'm like, well, I know it's bad. That's on purpose. We're doing a build contest. I'm trying to build around the spear, right? And it's like, well, I realize that, like, you know, it's like, it's what, that's what people care about is the performance of the build. They don't care if it's fun in that regard, right? For the most part. And that's why I've cared a lot more recently about like what is a good build and trying to make better ones. Like, for instance, like the Tornado Werebear, a very good build. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Like the Avalanche build was good enough. Like, it wasn't as good as some of the most degenerate things happening mm-hmm. right now, but you know, like, and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm torn because I want to have some fun, but I also want to make content that people enjoy, and people enjoy the ridiculous shenaniganry, right? They don't want to see me struggling at 500 corruption with a rinky dink spear because its numbers were too low. They want to see me absolutely demolishing the game with like Tornado Werebear. And it's like, all right, then that's what we'll do. And I think the problem.
So you know what? I'm just gonna, every time you say the problem, I'm gonna take over. This actually reminds me of someone who's been in the Path of Exile community for a long time, like making wacky builds, and that's Wolfio. Shout out to that guy.
Are you gonna bring this up?
Is there drama?
Oh no, there isn't drama. No, it's just recently he made a post talking about how like it was like having difficulties with YouTube in general, but that's not what you're bringing up. But go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say that I like him. Whoops. No.
No, that's so, good. No, he's
yeah,
doing
Wolfio,
fine.
Wolfio, like he explores all kinds of like, you know, B tier unique items in Path of Exile. And I feel like, not intentionally, but like the Bane of Winter contest kind of got me down because I thought Bane of Winter was going to be a better weapon. But I'm glad.
I thought so too, to be fair.
I'm glad that we still got to do some kind of deep dive exploration of it. But like, he's been doing that in the World of Path of Exile for a long time. Like his builds, I haven't seen every single build that he's done, but like they're not top tier builds. They're not like the most competitive builds, but like they're cool interactions. Like just like people like, you know, That's Real Neato, if you know him, like he used to hang out in my chat all the time, still for Lost Epoch.
Yeah.
And like having cool interactions that make you want to talk about your build, that make you want to explain it to somebody else because it makes your brain feel so big. I want those to be more common in Last Epoch because I want to feel smart.
I agree.
I don't have many opportunities in the rest of my life to feel smart. So like, let me use Last Epoch and feel smart.
I agree. I enjoy doing that as well. And that's mainly why I make builds. But like I said, of late, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been a lot more serious of late with my choices.
I have.
Like, I've been a lot more serious of late. I've been a lot less jokey. I've been a lot more like, hey, look, we're playing the broken OP stuff now, right? The fact I didn't even make a sorcerer build was just because I didn't have time because, you know, reasons, but still. And like, for instance, I'm reading this Reddit post earlier. I was reading it earlier. There's a dude who reached like 500 corruption with like a damage reflect build. I'm sure you saw that.
Oh, the reflect thing?
Yeah. And I'm just like, see, I like stuff like this. This is cool.
That person is proud of themselves and they're having a good time. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
I could never play it because it would take forever for me to push content with. So I would never touch that. But like, it's like, that's the kind of stuff I like. But obviously, you know, I am trying to do this as a job. So
right.
I have to care about what the audience cares about. And what Frozen said is exactly what I'm getting at here.
Those videos get a lot fewer views and like best giga build ever, sure. But like, you know, maybe that guy wants to start his content creation career. Maybe he wants to be like the Reflect guy, and he's going to take Reflect all the way to 1,000 corruption, and he's going to kill Aberroth with Reflect damage. And he's going to stand there and try to tank something and get Reflect. I'd watch that video. I'd put it on 2x speed, but I would watch that video.
Put it on speed, yeah. It just reminds me of when I played a quote unquote clone mage when I had eight minute unempowered Lagan kill.
Yeah. Like, no, that was a good build. I liked it.
Yeah. Ooh, so much fun.
Some guy got number one in Arena with Reflect. So Reflect is like, Reflect's very weird.
No, they didn't get there because of Reflect. They got there because Spriggenform was generating them like hundreds of thousands of ward. That is why they got there.
So,
not because of the Reflect.
There's a couple legitimate Reflect builds in the game, and I don't know who these degenerates are who liked Reflect damage, but sometimes people like them. So there's a minion Reflect Forge Guard build that exists. There is a Reflect Spriggan, which generates a bunch of ward. That's a favorite of your friend and mine, Rhodey, who is a total degenerate and likes playing that build in hardcore. Then there's a what the
minion Reflect one.
Is there a minion Reflect Necromancer, right? Reflect.
Yep, and there's that one. I don't know if that's so good anymore because skeletons have been outscaled significantly.
There's a couple of Reflect builds out there. I hate every single one of them, but
You can do like the Profane Veil stuff. I had fun with that. That was a real build.
Warlock.
That was a real build. It's just I need to play it in Merchant Scaled because it is expensive as balls, but you know.
Yeah. And not something that I would want to do. Let's see, Merchant Scaled, CWIP. I feel like there's another thing that I wanted to bring up real quick. Am I doing another build contest? I might do another build contest. We'll see.
It would be fun.
I took a look at the Arena stuff recently. So during patch 1.0, I did like a 1 month of 1.0 review of all the Arena builds. And I looked recently, there's like three people who are taking Arena seriously. And then a bunch of people at like 200 waves. So
that's because not many people played this patch.
and also Arena is just like, you know, Arena. So it's even smaller audience. I'm still going to do that video. But I'm not expecting too much. It's going to be like that video is going to be a good resource, 3 months from now when I have to go back and reference it. But right now, like no one's really doing Arena stuff. Everyone's just presumably having fun killing Aberroth and doing Nemesis and egging all their items and keep farming up. At least I am. I don't know what everyone knows. I'm still enjoying it. All right. So,
speaking of, are we going to talk about this tier list here?
Oh, you know what? We can't. That's a good idea. Before we talk about the tier list, I want to mention one other thing, which is, oh my God, it just slipped my mind. Oh, the Avalanche, or sorry, the Earthquake patch. So this is something that you've been out of the loop for, which is just hilarious. So EQ and Serpent Venom had the same bug with them, where they were getting additional more multipliers they weren't supposed to. So they both got nerfed in the same way. And then EHG announced that they're going to do compensation for Earthquake and not Serpent Venom because, you know, why would you? Come on. So they did. So that patch finally rolled out yesterday, I think. And they doubled the flat damage. They doubled the effectiveness of added damage and they changed some of the more multipliers for Earthquake, which is cool. But they also, I think they reintroduced the bug. On top of doubling the effectiveness of added damage. My EQ build right now is just like Giga Chad. It's fucking huge. They buffed it by reintroducing the bug. And that's just, you can't write that. That's a good storyline right there.
Well, I saw a curse boy. He was playing with Witchfire and was getting to like 500k ticks.
That's a good amount of damage.
That peaks my ears. Yeah, I want to play that 500k is not bad. When I get back. That is the minimum, 400K is, but that's the minimum acceptable amount.
I would say 600K recently.
Yeah, it kind of is. It depends. The Harbingers bumped it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like 800K pug, good.
800K is great. Love that. Yeah. Like good builds, you know, a million, but you know, minimum viables with the kind
of number we're talking about here. Well, I mean, with the way that setup's, it's that's all of his damage. So like for instance, the rare takes that much damage as the boss does.
Okay.
And that's acceptable because that means that like your damage is consistent. Also as well, he doesn't have to do much to apply that damage. He just kind of sits there and waits. So like damage uptime is obviously something that's very important.
Yeah,
like,
who
cares
great.
About your build that does 20 million damage if you can't sit next to Abiroth for 5 seconds, right? It's like, you just one shot him, whatever.
So let's talk about a tier list real quick. So this is something that we did with the Curse BG, or TC as I started calling him. I don't know, something about calling him the Curse. I'm like, come on, like the Madonna, get out of here. In any case, we made a tier list with him, and it took like 2 hours. We talked for a long time, but it was really enjoyable. I just linked it there in chat. There's an imager link of just the picture, and then if you want to watch this in your free time, for those of you who are watching live, you can also watch the podcast after the fact. So this was a tier list that we did, S through D, and there's some interesting ones in here, but I'll mention one real quick, and then you can talk about whichever one or two.
So I need the merits of said tier list before we move on here.
So the merit
because
was whatever
I see some very interesting choices.
Yes, yeah. So we ranked these on like a hybrid scale of like which ones are like the strongest, and then also are they well designed. So it's not a good tier list.
Well designed, a falconer. Why is it an S? That should be an D. What the heck?
Yeah. That's
like, if we're talking about design in terms of how well designed it is, like falconer goes up straight to the bottom.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's a bad tier list because we had these two metrics and we kind of jumped between them. But calling out the fact that falconer was listed in S tier at the end of the video, if you watch it, Curse is like, you know what? We should probably put Falconer in D tier because we don't like it, but it's giga strong. So as the conversation progressed, we kind of changed what we were talking about. But the
so
video is a good
one.
This is
why the merit of their design. I think Sorcerer deserves to be up there now.
Oh, for
they
sure.
They did a very good job of reworking it.
God, imagine.
It has big numbers, and it just needs its numbers chopped a little. And it's
imagine
fine.
Being a time traveler and telling someone in patch 1.0 that next patch, Sork is Giga Chad, and Rune Master is like left in the dust. Imagine telling someone that. That'd be insane.
I think Beastmaster deserves its spot. It's very. The only problem Beastmaster has right now is there's this dichotomy of either soul companion or squirrels/wolves/ et cetera.
Raptor,
there's no actual zoo build that's even remotely good.
They should add support for that. People want
and
it.
Once that exists, then Beastmaster deserves an S tier in terms of design. Mm-hmm. And that's what we care about here. Shaman's very close.
Where's Shaman in this tier list? Like, Shaman's A tier. Yeah.
I think that's fine now. I think the only problem I have with Shaman is like it's got this totem sub theme, but like not really, if that makes sense. Like it's there, but like most of it comes from the mastery of the minus mana cost.
The Shaman sub theme looks a lot better when you include Urzel's Pride in your build. Yeah, you're right, but like a Shaman with Urzel's Pride and a Shaman without Urzel's Pride, they scratch like two different itches like in your brain. Like
one of them
looks like it makes so much harmonious sense.
I would shoot all the way in D.
Rune Master D tier?
why make 40 different skills if people are only gonna use two of them? Like
why?
That's a very good question that needs to be asked.
So the Rune Master conversation was is fundamental criterion, and how if you're playing one of those Runic Invocation builds, you have to use that chess piece or else your build's bad, and like that should be part of the Runic Invocation skill tree, or it should be part of the Rune Master mastery. It should not be a unique item.
Yeah. I mean, well, no, we're talking about design-wise, by the way. We're talking about, like, how well designed this is. And my problem is, what happened was they're like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you did this and that and this and that? Mm-hmm. And then they didn't. And then, like, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. They need an accountant, someone to, like, look at all these and balance them number-wise. Like, for instance, recently with Path of Exile, there was a huge, huge part of the patch notes, all dedicated to numbers. Literally just numbers. It's like, this skill does this much more damage to make up for the fact we're removing melee totems and stuff like that. Like, I would rather, like, I like that kind of level of detail. While with the Runic Invocations, it was just like, wouldn't it be flashy? Oh my god, Grand Prism Nova. It hits the whole screen and it looks amazing. Oh, it did 5 damage.
It's like you could legitimately double or triple or even more the damage of some of those skills in Runic Invocation, and you wouldn't upset the meta of what people want to play. All that would do is make, you know, Johnny and Timmy over there happy. Yeah, all you'd be doing is making people happy. It wouldn't change Spike at all.
I think 40 skills and trying to balance them all, like, for instance, there's no actual reason for the 2 invocations and the 1 invocations to exist, other than the fact they said that we wanted to be able to cast 1 and 2 rune combos, but they don't do anything.
All right. Like, counter. The addition of the unique idol that says you lock when you get to 2.
That's still bad.
But it's cool. It's interesting. I agree. Opens up. But all the support for Runic Invocation is based on consuming 3 runes or having 3 runes above your head. Everything has to do with 3.
Now,
and as soon as you trim it down to 2 and try to make use of that new unique idol, you lose out on like half the support for those idols.
The way I would go about it is make the buffs, like all the buffs, you know, like all the buffs, like the fire aura and all that, right? The fire aura one, frenzy one, the ward one, all those. Make those the 2-in-1s, and then make the flashy damaging spells the 3 runes, right?
Sure. So if you want to use them as a buff, you have to use an idol for it too?
Yeah, like that's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
Sure. Great. Yeah, sure. Like, I think the focus should be on the 3 runic invocations, like, because, like, those are the ones we care about, obviously. I don't know. It's just kind of, like, obvious. Warlock, I think Warlock deserves to be up there. That's fine.
Yeah, Warlock's fine a good one. I like Warlock.
Warlock, when I saw, it was a very weird moment for me, because I saw the Warlock tree after a whole week of waiting. Or however long. Then I saw the Falconer tree and I compared the two. And I remember us having this conversation, and I'll say it again. Like, I like the Warlock tree way more.
Way more than Falconer. It's so, like, boring.
Like, Falconer is really strong.
We're talking about the Mastery tree.
Yeah, the Mastery tree, right? I mean, I think the Burb is also boring, but that's another discussion for another day. But yeah, like, I literally have like 20 Warlock builds in my mind right now. And that's like, because every single thing in it has somewhat value. It actually seems like I'm actually benefit. Like, for instance, remember that curse, like poison prolif thing? I tried it.
Yeah.
It works very well.
Awesome.
And it's something you think would never work, like using soul feast to apply poisons, right? Because whatever, right? Necromancer.
Where's Necromancer? We put Necromancer in A tier.
I think that goes in C.
C tier.
It's something like it's essentially in the same spot where like Sork was, where it just doesn't have its identity yet because it's Dredgeshade the build.
It is Dredgeshade the build, and I hate that.
And like, why would I ever use skeletons other than for utility? Sure. Gonna be used for utility. Kill the monsters? Yeah. I'll go make a cup of coffee while you go kill Aberroth with some skeletons. And I will see if I come back before you kill him. I think C. I think Necromancer. And this is only because it's old, by the way. It's only because it's old.
I want to talk about at least 2 other things on this tier list. I want to talk about 3 other things. But before we do that, let me pause for a minute. Because I know there's people who are like listening on audio, listening on Spotify, YouTube. So just real quick, this tier list from last week's episode was S tier was Falconer Sorcerer. A tier was Blade Dancer, Beastmaster, Shaman, Runemaster, Warlock, Necromancer. Just below that, in B tier, was Druid, Paladin, Void Knight, and Spellblade. And then in C tier, we're getting to the stuff that I want to talk about. In C tier, there's Forge Guard, even though it literally just got updated, and Lich, and then in D tier, Marksman, which should not surprise anyone. It's like, there's a build you can play. There's maybe two builds you can play. But I want to tell you, Dread, because we were taking a look at arena builds. Mm-hmm. I had this sinking, impending doom feeling, like I was going to have a heart attack or something. But I was looking at the patch notes before 1.1, and I was thinking to myself, what if even with 17 different nerfs to the Jelcor's blasting knife, detonated
is
arrow,
is it still good enough? I'm going to.
What if it's still the best marksman build even after all those nerfs and bug fixes? And you know what is on the top of the arena ladder?
Marksman?
No. The top of the arena ladder for marksman is like that build.
Jelcor's?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all.
And you know what, like, the second build after that is?
Mm.
The same thing, but using Reign of Winter instead. And still just throwing traps.
So the problem here right now is Yiichi recently has been getting away from using more damage multipliers from skills. Like, for instance, like, you like look at Avalanche now, right? But the go ahead and drink again.
All right, so I'll interrupt. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was Forge Guard being in C tier, which is so brutal. So I actually compare Forge Guard like this. Like, Forge Guard is like, Forge Guard's one patch behind Shaman. Shaman got a facelift in 1.0. Forge Guard got a facelift in 1.1, and like I'm copium. I think Forge Guard is going to be good in 1.2. Like surely. But what we wanted to say specifically about Forge Guard is like there's a handful of builds. There's minion stuff, which is good. They got some buffs there. There's Shield Bash, which is undoubtedly a good skill. And then
it's only a good skill because they printed a unique for it. That is not good, in my opinion.
and then there's also Smelter's Wrath, which is bugged, and Forge Weapons, which is bugged. So it's like a bunch of bugged builds. It's like, okay, well, if you ignore the bugged builds, then Forge Guard plummets.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy.
Well, I mean, so like you just brought up Shield Bash. I'm like, Shield Bash.
Is Shield Bash only good because of the shield? The unique one-handed axe?
What if you had a shield that? What if you just had a shield that also had 100 flat damage on it? Also, as well, I had a lot of people, not only my comments, my Discord, my DMs, everywhere, right? They're all like, "Hey, Dread, Shield Bash is gonna be great." They're like, "Shield Bash is awful." I'm like, "Why? You just said it was gonna be good." They're like, "It's too high investment." And I'm just like, that just means it's bad and you just want to see it.
it's like playing Magic the Gathering or something and being like, well, my deck is hard to play. It's like, no, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. it's bad. Yeah, I'm sorry, but like, and it's like, oh, all right. So, and then I asked them, like, hey, Shield Bash is a good skill. All right, name one Shield Bash build that doesn't use the axe. I'll wait.
That's interesting.
Tick tock.
is there even like a different consideration for anything else?
You could try to go bleed. It'll still be very bad.
It's got more physical damage per strength. It applies to bleeds as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But you're only applying like 10 bleeds every like 0.5 seconds.
That's true. You know, it's the same kind of, it's close to the ailment application problem for big bonky skills we talked about earlier in the podcast.
Or dancing strikes.
Sure. Poor dancing strikes. The other thing that I want to mention real quick before we like, you know, keep rambling about this tier list is the inclusion of Lich at C tier.
And like, I agree with that.
So we actually had Lich in B tier until the very end of the podcast, because we said, hey, like, oh, looking at this podcast, you're looking at this list here, you know, Lich is in B tier.
The only reason it's not in D is because it actually has functional builds.
Well, listen, he said it again. But we said, like, hey, if EHG is going to look at this image that we made, if they're going to watch this podcast and see what we made with Master Tier List, we want to put Lich as low as possible because we want them to fix it. Like, please, please fix Lich. Give us anything exciting to do. Give it a facelift. Give it thresholds on its mastery tree. Give it conversion somewhere. Just give it something, please.
The bleed conversion on Lich Form?
Oh, do you know why that's awful?
I know why it's awful.
Oh, okay. Well, how about you tell the people why it's awful?
Ah, yes. So it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't fucking do anything.
It doesn't even make you look different. It barely makes you look different. Like, I thought I was going to click it. Like, Lich literally lost the 30% attack and cast speed for nothing.
So when you when I read the node in the patch notes, what I thought it did is I thought it converted all sources of poison in the skill tree to bleed. So it, like, you take those global poison chance and it turned into global bleed chance. And I was like, what a great thing to do. That's an awesome idea. You know what it does instead? It converts Reap. And if you don't know what Reap is, I don't blame you. Because what is Reap? Reap is the melee attack that you gain access to. Is like kind of moves you forward a little bit. It only converts poison to bleed for that. It would have been easier to not do that. What were they thinking?
I don't know.
You know what someone asked me recently? Mm-hmm. They said, why is there not a cold conversion for Reaper form? Because that'd be like hell freezing over. Like, that's, you know, kind of thematic. And they're like, man, wouldn't it be cool if there were like cold stuff and it could like recolor you to blue and, you know. And I was like, you literally, it's there. It's literally already there. And it's as bad as you think it is. Like, it already exists. Just, come on.
Your crit cold build. But what if you just didn't crit?
Anyways.
Freeze is in need of a rework anyway. So it's not a big deal, right?
Is Freeze in need of a rework? I don't know. I don't have too many
opinions
on that.
The fact that I can talk about it and still, and 90% of people listening don't understand what it does, then yeah, probably.
Sure. All right. I don't mind it. So that's the mastery tier list. I don't know. I thought it was fun. It was a fun exercise. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. No, I enjoy it. It's just like I said, I would just put Falconer all the way to the bottom. That's all. That's like what I would mainly do with that. Otherwise, I agree with all that.
You mentioned before that like you don't want to play Spark Charges right now. You don't want to play Sork right now. You don't want to play Falconer right now because they're all like so flipping strong.
Well, because like, the problem is, so there's two considerations.
Oh, is it longevity of YouTube comment?
There's
content?
Two considerations. That's one of them. The other consideration of, I don't want to play the broken version of it and then play the unbroken version of it. I want to play the version that's going to stay in the game for the next few years, mm-hmm. not the version that, you know, like, that's not going to stay in the game for five mm-hmm. minutes.
I mean, people swarmed over Falconer at the beginning of 1.0, and they're still, you know, very, very popular.
Because it hasn't been changed yet, barely.
It's got a bunch of nerfs. Not enough.
I mean, I have more problems with Falconer than just the power. I have other problems with it.
We got time. We're just over the hour point.
I made a video on this, but essentially my opinion on Falconer is I think they went way, 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 way too hard on the Falcon and then like didn't give it anything else. Like, for instance, when I think of a Falconer build, I think of Falcon. Don't get me wrong, I get it. But like when I think of Warlock, you complain about this, by the way, about Warlock and Chthonic Fissure. At mm-hmm. least when I use Chthonic Fissure in my Warlock build, I'm like using his utility or two extra curses. I'm using it to spread the ignites that I apply with another skill around, mm-hmm. right? I'm using it for applying acid skin so I can get 100% crit chance with my zombies.
Yes.
I'm using it to pop my infernal shades. I'm using it for all of these different reasons, right? I put Falcon on my bar when I want to one-tap Aberroth. Like, you know, and that's really all it does. It's like, I don't use it for utility. There's no utility to be seen. It's just, I deal a very large amount of damage with my burb. And like, that's fine and all, but it's like, I don't know. It's like when I looked at everyone playing Falconer, they're all playing the same build, except the very few changes in between them. And I don't find that exciting when I play ARPGs.
Does it feel so? I feel a certain way about Shadow Daggers, and I wonder if that's how you would describe how you feel about Falcon. Like when I put Shadow Daggers in my build,
worse than that. It's worse than that. Like imagine you played a shaman, okay? And when you get to your mastery skill, it's Storm Totem, right? Okay. And then you're like, okay, Storm Totem, that's a cool way to play the build, right? Like, cool way to play Shaman, make the Giga Totem. And then you get to Earthquake. And then there's nodes in it that say, if you don't have a Storm Totem out, you can't use Earthquake. All right, cool, fine, whatever. Weird, but sure. All right, you keep going up the tree, and then you get to Avalanche, and it says, you can't use this without Storm Totem. Oh, all right then, okay. And then you go up a little bit more, and you see another skill. Oh, you can't use this without Storm Totem. That's how I feel about it. It's not like it's like very one faceted build. Sure, you have different skills. You have aerial assault and you have dive bomb and stuff like that. But you can mix max the two, right? Whatever flavor or burb you want to do that day, right? And it doesn't change the build at all. You're just still playing burb, right?
So like let me describe how I feel about Shadow Daggers real quick. So when I play Shadow Daggers, like when they start to eke their way into my build, if I'm playing, you know, some kind of rogue, it's like,
they
well,
take it over.
Yeah. Like as soon as I put the first Shadow Dagger in there, I'm like, well, you know, the best thing that I could do to make my build, you know, take it to the next level is to also spec the Shadow Dagger node on this skill. And the next best thing for me to do is also take the Shadow Dagger node on this node. And then like, if I'm doing that, I should also scale Shadow Daggers everywhere else. And then all of a sudden I'm an SD build. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about Falconer. Just like, you know, you put Falconer on your bar,
well,
you might as well take the dexterity scaling node. You might as well take the more damage node.
I had a lot of people tell me it's like they're playing Falconer in 1.0, and they're like, you know, I was trying to play Cinder Strike, but then I saw my Falcon do 10 times the amount of damage I did in one hit. And I swapped over to the Falcon. It's been great since.
Right. Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
That's more damage.
I think my problem as well is it's a minion without being a minion. Like, for instance, the way I feel about Falconer is when they designed it, it seemed like as though they're like, okay, we want to make a rogue build that has a minion, right? And we want to make it a solo minion, okay? Okay. And the thought process was like this. I want to make it do damage. So they made everything have ridiculous modifiers, and all of a sudden it does damage. And then they played the build a little bit. Like, wow, wait, oh, my Falconer keeps dying and I have to res it like a companion. That shit sucks. And they're like, you know what? Bam, there you go. Falcon's immortal, right? All right, cool. All right, you keep playing the build. Oh no, I fell over and die now. Oh, bam. Falconer's mastery tree, all defenses. All of it. And you are tanky as a mother, like, and then like you put in Chill Shroud and stuff like that. And there was like, so my problem is, I don't care. My issue is Falcon has no weaknesses. Okay. When I play a build, like for instance, when I was playing the Bane of Winter build, I had problem. And then I had solution. I had problem. Then I had solution. It feels like someone already played the Falcon for me and then coded all the solutions into the game. And that's not very fun. Like, they already made all the decisions for me. Like, when I'm like, hey, my Bane of Winter, it's kind of slow, like my mana strike to proc these things. Let's get attack speed on it. Hey, my stuff doesn't do enough damage. Let's slap some flat damage on my Bane of Winter. Hey, like, my defenses don't feel good enough. All right, let's go hybrid instead of going for just ES, I mean, just ward or whatever, right? It's cool. And then it's like, I do that multiple times with the build. Like, for instance, with Avalanche, I'm like, hey, I do a decent amount of damage.
Avalanche is a great example of this.
Yeah,
totally.
Avalanche, like, I do some damage. I can't sustain mana. Okay, let's use Spriggan Form. Cool. All right. Hey, I'm using Avalanche and I'm dying. How do we deal with this? Let's use the rings, the ward on hit rings, and they make me immortal. Cool. Oh, I'm playing Avalanche and I'm not doing enough damage. okay, let's go Fizz Scaling and use Zathara's Conundrum. Like, it's like a push and pull with me in the game when I make decisions and fix things. With Falconer, it's like, I don't make those decisions.
Yeah.
I just press buttons.
Yeah, that's a good description. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. No notes. So we're at like an hour and 15 minutes. We said at the beginning of this podcast that we were going to try not to get attacked by Comcast. And we also mm-hmm. said it might be a short podcast because I didn't think we had too much to talk about, but it's always fun catching mm-hmm. up with you. Is there anything else that you want to chat about before we start wrapping things up here?
No, not really much has happened over the last 2 weeks. Other than the monster balance stuff, but that can be saved till next week.
Sure. We have... you mean the monster balance in the patch in Last Epoch, right?
Yeah, like the monsters getting nerfed.
Did you catch that those nerfs were basically exactly the same as the patch
notes from 1.0? I know, copy pasta.
Is that what happened? Because I asked them and they said they're going to get back to me and they never did.
I have just as much information as you do on that.
Okay, I'm going to go ping some EAG person and see if we can find out what kind of copy pasta nonsense happened. But here's what I want to ask you. Somebody posed this question to me and I said, you know what? That is a good question. So here's the last thing. We have patch 1.2 coming up someday, but we know that we're going to get something called a primordial unique item. Dread, what is a primordial unique item?
Well, you see,
It's a head scratcher.
It seems like as though a primordial unique item, there's like two ways I could go about this. A unique, I mean,
is it set items? Is it the set item rework?
It might be. Yeah. So recently with Torchlight Infinite, just like every ARPG currently, they have decided to look upon Last Epoch and Yoinka mechanic. So they yoinked the LP legendary system where they have, it's kind of like the aspect system from Diablo 4. Mm-hmm. So the way Diablo 4 works is you have a bunch of aspects and a codex that you can put onto your gear and you can drop those and stuff. And they're unique modifiers. So you don't actually wear that many unique pieces of gear in Diablo 4. You wear those aspects where they're like modifiers and they share a slot or whatever. Mm. I think something like that probably. Or you can add like a unique modifier to a rare item and then, or an exalted item or something. I'm like, okay, my two-handed sword is cool and all, but what if it had like 40% more attack speed, but 25% less damage? That would be a modifier I could slap onto my sword or something like that, right?
This isn't what you said, but you're making my brain think about reverse LP.
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be a good choice in Last Epoch. It'd be cool as hell. I don't think it would be either. It'd be really cool, but I don't think that's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, imagine reverse LP. Holy shit. I'm cooking now. Primordial Unique sound like something from the Ateras era. Yeah, we don't really know anything about it. It could be the set stuff. It could be. I'd be excited.
I asked the dev stream and the dev said the dot monster change was supposed to be in the first 1.1 patch, but didn't get in. Oh, okay.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. I'll accept that explanation there. So I think we're going to start wrapping it up then. We still have no idea what Primordial Uniques are, but at least we got guesses. You know, we'll learn more someday. It'll be a good time. But we're just over an hour at this point, coming up on an hour and a half soon. But this has been episode 51 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. Dread, thank you as always for being my co-host. Appreciate you taking time out of your Path of Exile leveling. You're not even leveling during the podcast. I'm impressed.
I'm not.
I know. That's great.
I went to like Commander the other day. Like I've been taking things casually.
Oh, good, good, good. I've been on the podcast before when you're leveling characters while you're talking to
me. I know. That was because it was like the podcast right after a cycle launch.
Okay? Oh, sure.
Yeah. Also as well, it's because I've been doing side work. I actually edit for two different Path of Exile channels.
Right.
Yeah. So like I just kind of take my time with PoE casually right now. What are the chances of EHG actually listening, guys? Well, we had a whole podcast dedicated to complaining about monster balance, and then we got a whole slew of monster balance changes. So I'll leave that to you to think about it.
Yeah, I would say pretty high chance that EAG listens, considering that EAG hosted us right before, right after the podcast started, and we talked to them. We talked to them regularly, so that's good. Yeah, EHD does a really good job of being tied into the community. I got a weird comment in Twitch chat earlier today. Someone said,
really?
They said, like, what do you think about EHD being silent on all of the issues that people complain about on Reddit?
What?
And it's, yeah,
they're
it's
not silent.
Completely off base. And like, I told them that.
I feel bad for poor Mike, man. People are already asking him, hey, Mike, what's the news for 1.2? I'm like,
right.
Leave the poor man alone. It's not his fault delayed, and then Path of Exile had to delay.
Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, like, EHG is really tied into the community, and they talk to content creators, and they read Reddit, and they're on Discord all the time. Like, they know what people like, and they know what people make fun of constantly. So I made a joke recently.
I mean, look at Sorcerer, like, we made fun of it, and we kept making it the... I was about to use that rephrase, but I'm not going to use it. Yeah. We kept making it the mockery of the game, and look at that. It's fixed. Same thing with Shaman. Like, I'll be honest, they did a really damn fucking good job on Shaman. Like, I'm really happy with Shaman right now. Like, Shaman's, like, one of those classes now that, like, I actually want to go play.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so we'll do some of this other stuff after the podcast is all done, because I do want to wrap it up here. But Dredd, I appreciate you you chatting. I think we're gonna chat a little bit after hours, after the podcast is done, just keep things going. But for those of you who are out there listening in the world of YouTube or Spotify after the fact, make sure to let us know where you're watching, so we can make sure that your watching and listening experience is as good and clean as possible. Dredd, thank you for episode 51. I appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. And before we move on, I'd like to say the problem is
no. Oh my god. All right, we're cutting it there.